This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and was unwilling to disgrace her publicly, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But after he had pondered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife, for the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give his name to be Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins."
We've only just begun to live, white lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun,
before the rising sun we fly, so many roads to choose, we start out walking and
was an angel.
I've always heard about them.
I read about them in scriptures.
But you never expected to happen to you.
They always appear to the righteous.
Angels always seem to herald major catastrophic events.
The holy.
Earthquakes.
Prophets.
Plagues.
Great leaders.
Kingdoms falling.
The chosen. So why me?
Why me?
I don't have some great lineage or a grand destiny. I'm just a teenage girl.
I'm nothing but a carpenter. I'm not even married yet.
It was like a dream.
It appeared to me in a dream.
I looked up, and there it was.
Dead asleep I was.
Standing right in the doorway.
I was dreaming something about carpentry.
Like it just let itself in.
Then I was talking to this angel.
I was terrified.
I only knew it was real because I could actually remember it.
Then it spoke to me.
Every single word.
It told me, "Fear not."
How often do you remember that much of a dream? Not often.
And all of my fear just vanished, like the very act of hearing it speak chased my fear away.
I'd had a rough day. It was hard enough to even fall asleep. Then an angel drops in on my dreams and tells me to not be afraid.
It called me highly favored.
Don't be afraid.
Me, highly favored by God?
A harbinger of doom is visiting my dreams and I'm supposed to just not be afraid?
Then this angel tells me I'm to be with child.
My betrothed is with child. We've only met a handful of times. I've never even touched her and she tells me this morning that she's with child. You try to get to sleep with that in your head. Then an angel interrupts my dreams and tells me to not be afraid?
How? I'm still a virgin.
How is a person supposed to react to this kind of news?
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to feel.
I felt numb for a moment.
But then the angel told me that this child is to be the Son of God.
Unbelievable. That's the only word I could use. It was the only word that seemed to fit.
But how?
How?
Who am I, a simple girl? About to be married, my life had barely begun. How am I to be the one carrying the Messiah? I'm no one. Yet, here's this angel standing in my doorway, calling me highly favored and saying I'm to be the mother to God's son. It's not that I don't believe it can't happen, but why me?
I've lived my life according to the law as closely as possible. I've gone to the temple every time I was supposed to, been a fair businessman. So why has this happened to me? And then she tells me the baby is the son of God.
How will I tell Joseph?
I should go ahead and divorce her.
You'll have every right to divorce me.
It's my right.
Hopefully he'll be kind about it.
Quietly, so she won't be disgraced.
I wouldn't blame him.
I thought about it, but then this angel, telling me to not be afraid, that she truly is carrying the Messiah?
He's a good man.
How can I raise the Son of God? What if I mess up? This shouldn't be put on me. It isn't fair. No man is righteous enough to raise God's Son.
How will he react?
I wanted to grab that angel by his glowing collar and demand some answers.
So many unknowns.
But when he said that, don't be afraid.
But the angel said to not be afraid.
And it was like all of those fears just melted. And I thought about Mary and how about she must have felt. She's probably terrified. Then to have to break this news to me, whom she hardly even knows, she's just a girl. And she's had all this news just thrust upon her.
I can only pray that God speaks to him as he did to me. I've only met Joseph a few times, but he's a good man. I like him, but this is a lot to ask of your future husband.
This is a lot to ask of anyone, much less an unwed girl. Then to make the trip to Bethlehem and back and for the census, I can't imagine what's going through her mind.
The Lord has promised that this will be for his glory.
The angel said that this child will deliver us all. I have to trust this. If Mary can do this, then so can I.
He would make a great father.
After all, I have to admit, I like her, which is important in marriage.
And his name?
We're to call him?
Jesus.
God with us.
The Lord saves.
Emmanuel.
Son of the Most High.
Lord.
Father.
I can only trust that this is of you.
I know you are with me when I'm afraid.
Forgive my anger.
Bless your servant.
Walk beside me.
Don't let me falter.
Take away this fear.
You have a plan.
Even if I don't understand.
And it is perfect.
So come.
Oh, come.
Emmanuel.
And I will rejoice.
I will rejoice. We will rejoice.
In God's word in Luke 2, 8 through 12, it is recorded, "And there was shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good news of great joy, and will be for all the people." Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
Hi, Dad. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Ruthie. I'm just sitting here staring up at this big, beautiful sky. Such a great night just to sit and think.
What are you thinking about?
Well, lots of things, actually. For one thing, how blessed I am to have you for a daughter.
And another thing, how blessed I have been to have been a shepherd all of these years.
Dad, do girls ever grow up to be shepherds?
Of course they do, Ruthie. There are a lot of women in Israel's history who were shepherds. For instance, Rachel, who married Jacob. She was a shepherd for her father's flock. In fact, Jacob first met her at the well when she was watering her dad's sheep.
Do you think that I could be a shepherd one day?
I don't see why not. You still have a lot of time to decide, though, honey. And there will be a lot more options for you. Like some good-looking guy is going to come and want to marry you and raise a family. But it's always a possibility. Someday I'll have to take you out in the field with me.
Do you like being a shepherd, Dad?
I like it a lot. I've been blessed to be a shepherd.
Don't people look down on shepherds, though?
Now, where'd you get an idea like that?
My friend at school. His dad is a shepherd, and kids sometimes make fun of him. I'm not sure why they never make fun of me.
Well, I suppose you're right. The average shepherd doesn't have the best social status. People do tend to, unfortunately, look down on them. I fared a little better, though, because I'm one of the priestly shepherds who raise the lambs for the temple worship. The lambs and sheep we raise are special. They're intended for a special purpose. So people pay us a little bit more respect.
How did you get to be such a great shepherd?
Well, we are of the Levite tribe. We are the tribe who are responsible for all things involving the temple and worship, from the praise team singers to those priests who enter the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifices. I'm one of the shepherds who is tasked with raising the lambs for the sacrifices. You know, we raise about 700 lambs a year for that purpose.
Wow, that's a lot of lambs.
Well, I don't understand though, Ruthie. Like, why do you want to be a shepherd when you know they aren't often respected?
Well, I feel bad for my friend at school, and I just think it's unfair the way he is treated. I thought maybe if more people wanted to be shepherds, less people would look down on them. That's all.
Well, that's rather noble, Ruthie. I'm very impressed.
What do you like most about being a shepherd, Dad?
I like the silence of the day and of the night. I also like knowing that I'm doing something really important.
Is there anything that makes being a shepherd hard?
Well, I guess you could say your mom doesn't really like it because I come home smelling like a bunch of sheep.
Oh, yes you do. The whole house smells like barn sometimes.
Well, I suppose it's also hard being a shepherd when a wolf will attack, or at least try to attack the lambs out there.
Have you ever lost a lamb before, Dad?
A few times, but not often. Usually I can scare them off with my rod and staff. It's great, though, how they can learn to hear my voice and respond to it. When I call them, they will come. You know, Ruthie, tonight is Christmas, right?
Yes, it is, though I'm not sure exactly what it all means. I understand it, but I don't, if that makes sense. I know you got me a present, and I know God gave me a present, but...
Well, maybe I can help make it more clear. I have a story I've been waiting a long time to tell you, and I think it's the right time now, and I think you would understand. It's about my most exciting night ever as a shepherd. It was a night like none other. It was part of what I was thinking about when I was looking up in the sky tonight. You see, it happened on this very night, the first ever Christmas Eve, 12 years ago. You weren't even born yet.
I guess that's why I don't understand anything about it.
Yeah. Well, I was on shepherd duty with two of my good friends, Zeke and Josh. We had left the shepherd's tower where all the lambs and sheep stay, and we stay out in the field until about midnight with the flock. It was a night like any other, rather peaceful out, and me and the guys were making small talk and wandering throughout the flock every so often. And then, all of a sudden, there was this bright light in the sky, and we all fell to the ground, absolutely terrified in fear.
Was it an alien? Was it a spaceship? Was it a meteorite?
No, it wasn't any of that. It wasn't an alien. It was an angel. I had never seen an angel before. I had read about them. The angel told us that we didn't have to be afraid, but that he had been sent from God to bring good news of great joy to all the people of the world. The good news, I can still hear those words, the good news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Savior who had been born bringing peace and goodwill toward men. In other words, the Savior was coming to make peace between God and man. God was showing mankind his goodwill in sending the Savior.
Is Jesus a Savior then? And Christmas is when we celebrate his birthday?
Yes, it is. You know, but wait, there's more to my story. If you think that's incredible, just listen. So the angel told us that we would find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angel wanted us to go and see this newborn baby.
Wow, did you go?
Yes, we did, but not yet. All of a sudden, then there was this whole sky filled of angels, like 1,000 angels filling up the countryside, and they were singing this incredibly angelic song about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It was the most amazing thing.
Wow. Well, the same thing. Wait. Oh. Wow. Then did you go?
Yep. We went. Then I said to Zeke and Josh, we need to go see this baby king.
How did you know where to find him?
Well, we knew because the angel said he was wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, that is exactly what we do with all the newborn baby lambs that are born, to protect them, to keep them from bruising themselves, as the lambs have to be absolutely perfect before the temple sacrifice. You see, the prophet Daniel told us that one day the Son of God would visit earth to redeem us all from our sins. So we, the priestly shepherds, all talked about his coming. Some of us thought it was a myth or a legend, but some of us, like Zeke, Josh, and me, we always believed that God would send his son. We just never thought we would be the ones to witness it.
So what happened next? Did you take the whole flock back to the tower, or did you just leave them there?
We left them grazing their little hearts out. We knew that if God wanted us to go to the tower, that he would take care of the flock for us. So we left our rods and staff in the field and raced off to see the baby. The tower wasn't that far away, and in about 15 minutes we were there, walked in, a little out of breath, but we walked in, and talk about a surreal moment.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. It was quiet, calm, and peaceful. Mom was being introspective and nursing the baby, and no one else was there but Mom and Dad.
Well, that's very good. That's exactly right. How did you...
Well, that's how God makes me feel inside when I am worried or sad. About the rest, I don't know. I just figure Dad and Mom would be alone, and Mom would be, well, Mom.
Yeah. Yes. They were all alone, and we talked briefly. We shared our experience out in the field. We also told them that their baby boy was the Lamb of God, the Son of God, promised by Daniel to redeem the world.
Did anyone else show up at the manger that night? I mean, if Daniel told us it was prophecies, did God let others know about his birth?
Well, that's something I don't know. After we left the manger, we went around town praising God and telling everyone about what we saw and the good news that we had heard. Everyone thought we were crazy. They thought we had just seen, like...
An alien?
Yeah, an alien.
But you saw an angel.
Even more, Ruthie, we saw God himself. He came to earth as this little baby boy.
But Dad, if he is a baby, born as a baby like us, how is he still God then?
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone can answer that question. That's where faith comes in.
Well, I have faith, Dad. I believe you. Even if I didn't see it, and even if it sounds like a wild story, I believe you, because I believe in God.
That's good, Ruthie. Hey, tomorrow, I'll take you out in the field with me, and you can help me watch the flock. Then we can go to the shepherd's tower, and I will show you the very manger where Jesus was laid.
Really, Dad?
Yeah. Just be prepared to come home smelling like the barn.
Oh, that won't be so bad.
Why is that?
Because I'll just smell like you.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas, Ruthie.
Oh, Dad, by the way, I had a Christmas gift I wanted to give you. It's from Mom and me.
Oh, from Mom and you?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't have to do this. That's nice. Thank you. Oh, Ruthie, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, it's perfume.
Well, it's more than that. It's Axe body wash. I don't know.
Well, you don't have to smell like barn anymore then.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Ruth.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Next in God's Word, we find in Matthew 2:1-2, this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the west arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great delight. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh.
Have it. It's over already. Hard to believe.
Call me confused, but what's over?
Yeah, and what's so hard to believe?
Come on, guys. The first Christmas. It's over.
Oh, yeah. I sure thing. I get your point.
Come to think of it, you are right. Even though we were traveling the last 6 months, I would agree that it did go fast. Wow, it's over. All that planning and traveling and just like that, it's over.
My point exactly. If I'm honest, it's a little bit of a letdown.
More like a lot of a letdown. We must be the first ones ever to experience the after Christmas blues.
Derek, I think Mary might have something to say about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mary.
Well, letdown or not, it was totally worth it. It was worth every step we took, every minute of every day. It was worth every ounce of doubt and sweat that we encountered along the way. Over every mountain, through every storm, it was worth it all to see the baby born.
Yeah, Rick, we get it. It was worth it. In fact, it was even worth every bad dad joke you told along the way.
Speaking of, do you know why I brought the baby Jesus myrrh as a present?
Because the prophet Daniel told us to?
No, because Jesus' birth was miraculous.
Okay, now that's pretty bad. But I will say, it's not as bad as Derek singing. Derek, you and your father Abraham song. I hear you sing that song one more time. I'm not sure the trip was worth that, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Hey, that's a classic road trip travel song, guys. By the way, you have to pass the time somehow. Honestly, someone should write a Christmas song about us. They could call it We Three Kings.
Derek, we're not kings. We're wise men or magi.
But everyone calls us kings.
Hey, I'm being serious, guys. I mean, come on. That was like the best Christmas ever.
Rick, that was the only Christmas ever. And to be entirely honest, he was born like 6 months ago. So technically, it wasn't even Christmas, man. I'm just saying.
Wow. Way to be a downer.
Well, at least we left home on Christmas. And to be honest, Christmas is really more than just a day. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of worship in your heart, celebrating the true gift of Jesus.
I like that, Wayne. Good observation. Actually, when you think about it, our gifts to him are nothing compared to his gift to us. The gift of his love to us. That's pretty amazing.
I think of it as the gift of his presence, the fact that he came down here to be with us. Not to get all theological with you, but it sounds like from the Jewish prophecy books that one day his presence will come into our very lives. I mean, it's one thing that he came into the world, but imagine having God's Spirit come into your own heart.
I don't know about you guys, but when I think of his gift to us, I get his love, his presence, even his peace, all that. But for me, the most tangible thing I see as his gift, when I look into the world, is the gift of light. Jesus truly is the light of the world.
And he has invaded the darkness and will overcome it. I like that, Wayne. Good observation.
Yeah, the light that was the prophetic star, the light that led us to him, is actually the light of the world himself. Now there's a mind-bender of a mystery for you.
I'm not sure I follow.
Well, the light of the world was Jesus, who was in Mary, or at least had been in Mary, and was just being birthed into the world. Yet the light of the world was announcing his own birth millions of miles up in the sky as the star of prophecy. So he is truly God, even as he is a man.
You know, though, when I think about Jesus being the light of the world, I'm reminded of that young woman we encountered when we stopped at that travel store to fuel up the camels. Do you remember Tamar?
Yeah, she was one troubled young lady.
Do you remember what we noticed about her?
Well, we said that you could see it in her eyes. You could just see it in her eyes, the emptiness or the...
Yeah, that's what I remember, darkness. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember seeing in her eyes. It's what wasn't there. It was like there was no light in her eyes. She was consumed with the darkness. It reminds me of what we find in the Jewish Proverbs, Proverbs 4. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. In Proverbs 15, the light of the eyes cheers the heart and good news nourishes the bones.
Wow, Wayne, that's really good. Great observation. Isn't it amazing, too, then how Jesus is the prophetic light in the sky that got us to Bethlehem, and yet he is also the light of the world that came to expel the darkness, and yet it even gets more personal.
Yep, he's the light of the world that illuminates our soul. He is the light inside of us, the light in our very eyes.
It reminds me of the prophetic words of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined.
Yes, that's what's so dumbfounding about Christmas. The light of the world came into the world, and most of the world didn't even notice.
I really wonder why that is. How could you miss the glorious light of the Savior?
Some were just too lazy.
Some were just too busy.
Some were just too blind?
Well, I'm glad we weren't too lazy, busy, or blind, because you know what this trip was really worth it. It was worth every step we took, every minute of every day. It was worth every ounce of doubt and sweat that we encountered along the way. Over every mountain, through every storm.
All right, Rick, we've already been through that.
Oh, yeah, you're right, sorry. It was just so worth it, though. Yeah.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for making this trip with me. It was a trip of a lifetime. These past 6 months have been a blast.
I got loads of pictures to help us remember the trip. I even got one of Tamar. It can help us remember to pray for her. We need to take another group picture at this next rest stop, guys. Plus, I need to get another selfie with my camel.
I think I'm pictured out, but I do agree with Wayne. Thank you all. You know we have the Lord to thank for this trip. He is the one who passed the Daniel prophecy on down to us. He is the one who prepared us for the star.
You know, it always pays to be ready and willing to do whatever God asks you to do. It always pays to be looking for what God is up to in this world. He will never disappoint. I can't imagine anything better than this experience we've had right here.
Oh, you think this was something? You like that light? Just wait till we enter eternity someday. And the glory of God surrounds us. That'll make this experience pale in comparison.
I like that, Wayne. Good observation.
Okay, guys, quick flashback to reality. We still have a 6-month journey back home.
But we have great friends and good memories. Or is that great, good friends and great memories?
How about great friends and memories? This ought to make for a seemingly quick trip, and I'm sure you've got plenty more dad jokes.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know what? What I almost brought for Jesus as a gift?
I'm kind of afraid to ask.
I almost brought him the perfect gift, a broken drum.
A broken drum?
Yes, it's the perfect gift. You can't beat it.
I'm not sure about that one, Rick.
Well, I'm sure of this. We better get going. And you know what that means. This is the perfect time for a song.
Uh-oh. No, please.
Don't.
Okay, all together now. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one.
And I am out of here.
Hold on.
I told you to bring some headphones and a Walkman.
Can I borrow those?
I don't think so.
Hold on, guys. Wait up, let me sing.
So he could build a fence.
Again, we find in God's word in Luke 1, 39 through 45. In those days, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered into the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord's word to her would be fulfilled."
No place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, when you long for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home. I met a man who lives in Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific, gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways for the holidays.
I'm here. Hi, Mary. It's so good to see you. It's been such a long time. I really need to get down to the city more often.
Or I need to go to the country more often. It's so peaceful here.
Wow.
I knew you were going to have a baby.
You got so big.
I suppose I have. I was just so excited with the news. Zechariah and I have waited a long time.
But you do look a little troubled, dear.
I guess I'm just picturing myself and wondering what I've gotten myself into.
I know I said yes, and I'm really happy I did. And I'm like, how could I say no to the God of the universe, especially when he shows up right in your bedroom with an angel?
Ooh, somebody was excited. My baby just leaped for joy at the things that you were saying. He's never done that before. You must be carrying a special baby inside of you.
I know I do. And I'm super excited. Don't let my fears or questions or worries cause you to think otherwise. To be honest, I'm so much filled with joy myself. I have been leaping in my dreams ever since the angel left me. Well, okay, there was that slight issue with Joseph, but God was gracious enough and sent him his own angel.
And his response?
He said, "Mary, we're in this thing together, and I am by your side here to eternity."
I heard that Joseph was kind of a special guy.
He is. Initially, he was super hurt, but also protective of me. I tried to explain. I mean, how can you explain this? Once the angel paid him a visit, he must have apologized 100 times. But I get it. I would have a hard time believing me. Hey, is someone else here?
Well, yes, Mary, I have a surprise for you. Come on in, girls. Your other aunts and cousins are here. They're throwing a surprise-shaped baby shower for both you and me.
Hi.
Hello, Mary.
Hi.
So good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Welcome.
So good to see you.
Wow, well, you guys should have done that. I mean, we should be focused on Elizabeth. I'm not due for almost 9 months. I mean, Elizabeth is the one who is ready to explode.
Very funny, Salome, but just you wait. Your turn will come soon enough.
I'm just curious how y'all know about me and my... Oh, you know how word travels, girl, even out here to us country folk, especially something as salacious as your story. Yet Elizabeth filled us in and all the details, and we want you to know that we all believe in you, and we are rejoicing with you. Your joy is our joy, Mary. I mean it in the most serious of ways. Your joy is a story of joy, not just for you, but for all of Israel. Anyway, hi, Mary. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Oh, Aunt Abigail, it's good to see you, too. I need a word with you. I desperately need some wisdom. I mean, how am I supposed to be the mother son of God? How do you parent God?
Oh, you know, honey, I'm sure this seems like such an impossible task, but I wouldn't overthink it. It seems to me that if God wanted a baby to come into this world as a baby, and if he wanted to have a mother and a father like you and Joseph, then he probably wants to be raised just like any other boy. It doesn't seem as though he wants any special treatment. I actually think he wants to come and experience our life.
I can't wait till the first time you have to ground him. That would be funny, you having to ground God's son.
I highly doubt that he will ever need grounding, Salome. I mean, yes, he wants to be a normal boy, but I doubt he will give Mary much trouble. You know, people think I'm wise, but even I can't imagine how this will all work itself out.
Thank you, Abigail, for your wise words. Oh, Aunt Rebecca, thanks for coming. I don't think I've seen you in years.
Oh, Mary. It's so good to see you, Mary. You know my motto, every day is another day to worship Yahweh. And I just want you to know that when that baby is born, I'm going to come, I am going to stay with you, and I am just going to take care of that little bundle of joy.
I appreciate that, Rebecca. I thought of you when the angels came to me and told me I was the Lord's servant. And when I thought about what that meant, I thought of you. I wondered, why didn't God choose Rebecca? That she'd been perfect. That's always been your reputation.
Oh, honey, I'm way too old for having children. I guess you could say that I'm no Elizabeth. At my age, I don't do babies.
Now, that will be funny. When Elizabeth shows up at school for the parent-teacher conferences, or is that the grandparent-teacher conferences?
Ha ha, that's so funny. I'm not that old, though. Okay. Wait, maybe I am. Come to think of it, it will be kind of funny. I've got to get some food prepared in the kitchen. I'll be right back.
You know, we should get this party started. Or shower going. We have some great games planned.
Okay, but I have to give my sister a hug first. You're high on me, Aunt Hannah.
It is so good to see you, Mary. I've been praying for you.
I'm sure you have. I knew you would be. If anyone was praying for me, I knew it would be my sister, Cuz Hannah.
I got your letter and I would have responded, but I knew you were coming to visit Elizabeth, so I just held on to it. We need to do some Bible studies together with Cousin Elizabeth while you're here. We need to read up on the baby you're carrying in your womb.
Hey, that's right. What an observation. The prophets probably have a lot to say about this baby of yours. It would be fascinating to do some Bible study.
Maybe Uncle Zechariah could help us. He might know where to point us in the Holy Book.
It seems to me that Isaiah described him as a servant. He's a servant king. Later described as a suffering servant. Oh, Mary, I'm so sorry. I'm not sure what that means, but it doesn't sound very positive.
I wonder if he'll be able to do miracles and stuff like Moses did. I think somewhere he is described as a prophet who is greater than Moses. I mean, think about it. Moses parted the Red Sea, then delivered Israel from the Egyptians. Then he went up the mountain to meet with God. I wonder if Jesus will climb any mountains or part any seas. Whoa, slow down. You'll have the quiet, vibrant imaginations.
Actually, it's no imagination, Mary. The one you carry if he is the Messiah, and it seems that he is. The message from God, he is sent for great things. He is sent to be a great deliverer like Moses and to deliver us from Rome. He should be a great leader someday. I can't wait. In fact, do you remember the story of Nehemiah when he returned to Jerusalem and led the people in rebuilding the walls? Who remembers that? In fact, well, at one point they found the law that had been lost while they were in exile. Nehemiah and Ezra read the law publicly to the people, and they were all distraught. They began to weep and cry, but Nehemiah said something profound to them. He told them not to cry, but to celebrate. He said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." It just hit me the other day. Why is that? The reason that is so is because the Messiah is our joy. The joy of the Lord is realized in his coming to us. This is why Mary's joy is also our joy.
Wow, Cousin Hannah, that was really profound.
I'm back.
What'd I miss?
A lot, actually. Okay, Elizabeth Beck, let's play our first baby shower game.
Oh, yes. So each of us is going to put a potential baby name in this basket. Then, whichever name you choose, that's what you have to name him. It's called the Name the Baby game.
Well, yeah. I don't think so.
Come on, Mary. It'll be fun. And you do need a baby name.
We did this for Cousin Sarah's baby, and she's still mad at us.
What, she didn't like Balaam for a name? That's a classic Bible name.
That's a Bible name with a lot of baggage. Not the best of reputations.
Yeah, you have to admit, sometimes that God of ours, hey, has quite the sense of humor.
Isn't Balaam the guy with the pet donkey?
No, Salome, it wasn't a pet donkey, but it was the talking donkey, even though donkeys don't normally talk.
You have to admit, sometime that God of ours has quite the sense of humor.
I suppose that was funny.
It is not just the donkey I'm thinking of, Elizabeth. Think about your own husband, Zechariah. For some reason, God took his voice and he can't talk. Then you've got Balaam's donkey and he can. That cracks me right up.
Well, I suppose it has been a lot quieter around the household lately. Anyways, let's play our game. Put your names in here.
So y'all know, I really cannot use this name. You see, the angel already told me his name, but I'll play along for fun. Jesus, who put this name in the bowl? I can't believe it. This is the name that angel told me to name the baby. Wow, talk about confirmation. What are the odds?
Try again, Mary, just for fun. Let's say his name wasn't going to be Jesus.
Okay, Jesus again. How can this be? Two of you must put the same name. And I pick that name again? What gives?
Wow, that is weird, Mary. Try once more. This can be his middle name.
Jesus, a third time. Okay, how do y'all know? These all say Jesus on them.
Well, Elizabeth told us, so we put Jesus on every scroll. We thought that might get you. Jesus is a good name, though. Jesus is the name for Joshua in the Torah. He's the one who took down the walls of Jericho.
His name also means salvation. Didn't the angel say something like that to you and Joseph?
Yes, he told Joseph that he would save us from our sins. I think it means he will deliver us from Rome.
Wow, that is wild. Mary, did you know you are giving birth or delivering the one who will deliver you and us? Now that's an epic thought. Did you ever think of that, Mary?
Actually, that would make a great song lyric someday.
Hey, I just thought of something, Mary. You know how God is a triune God? Father, Son, and Spirit?
Yes.
Well, what if you're having triplets?
No, geez, Salome.
Well, ladies, I have some food for us in the kitchen. We can play some more games later. We're also going to write a Christmas psalm together to celebrate the coming birth of our king.
Let's call it Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Let earth receive her king.
Let every heart prepare him room.
And heaven and nature sing.
And heaven and nature sing.
And heaven and nature sing.
I think we better write that down before we forget it.
That's a great idea. Boy, what a joyous celebration this turned out to be.
Hey, I just thought about something. Why isn't Grandma Naomi here?
Didn't you hear? She's in the hospital.
In the hospital? What happened to her?
Yeah, what happened to her?
Oh, you didn't hear? Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, seriously?
All right, very good. And Dan, you put up that last PowerPoint for me. I just have like one scripture to share here, 2 minutes. Thanks to everybody who took part in this, and there was a lot of work that went into this, a lot of moving parts from different directions, and so, yeah. And then the kids were like, we don't want to do it all again this year. So I tapped into some of the adults and said, okay, some of the adults get in. But they did a great job. I was thinking about, though, as I said, we're talking this year about some of the small, more personal, intimate stories of Christmas that come together to tell this grand narrative. And so this kind of was a snapshot of all of them. Thinking about the story of joy, though, when you read through the Christmas story, like joy is just one of the central themes you see throughout in so many different ways, and it was kind of depicted today. Of course, Mary goes to Elizabeth's house, and she experiences joy in her womb from Jesus being in her presence there. There's just joy throughout the story. Of course, the shepherds out in the field hear the message of good news, of great joy. And I thought of this reality when you think about Jesus one time defined his ministry. In it's not Luke 1, I think it's Luke 4. I think I got the wrong caption there. But he said this about his ministry: the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. And I just thought about that when you think about the joy of Christmas and why, you know, joy is wrapped up in Jesus and why he came. And you think of the things that he came to do. To preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to those that are captive to sin and death and all that this world entails, to bring healing to so many that were hurting. That was his ministry and his life, and even more so, not just physically, but spiritually healing. And so there's joy wrapped up in Jesus. And so I thought of just these two verses over in Matthew when we read about the wise men's story. And the wise men come traveling really far, probably traveled for 6 months or a year or so, maybe longer. And there weren't just three wise men. There was like a whole entourage. So we don't know if there was, you know, 30 of them or 50 of them or 100 of them or 300 of them. It could have been the way things went in that day. They would bring a whole entourage. That's why when they stopped at the palace, the star shines in the sky, announces his birth. They head off towards Jerusalem to find this baby. And they get over to where Herod is at the palace there, and he's the king of Israel, and they stop and they knock there. And this is what really shakes up Herod and all the people, because there's like this whole entourage, a whole throng of people have come to worship this newborn baby. And It says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And so I just thought that was really fascinating. Like, here is Jesus. We look at him as the one that brings joy. And, of course, to King Herod, he was a threat to his kingdom and to all of Jerusalem. They were kind of troubled. I think the people were troubled because the king was troubled. If your king is troubled, yeah, that's not good for us. If our king's not in a good mood, that could be bad news for us. So, but then the wise men leave there, and that star reappears a second time. And it says in Luke 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great excitement. Like, when they saw that star a second time, it was like, wow. And the star told them exactly where to find the baby, exactly where the baby was laying at home, not in a manger. But this is, you know, he's a toddler by now. And they go to the house, and they see Jesus there and bring the gifts to him. And I just thought that is so fascinating, that how we respond to Jesus really is, I mean, whether we have joy, even in this world today. I was thinking about, you know, you think about Christmas as a time of joy. You think about, like, for a kid that gets up on Christmas morning and opens up their present, and like, they're excited about the gift they get and the present they get, and they're really happy, and that's happiness. And happiness can come and go, but joy is a much deeper gift. Joy transcends our experiences. That kid can be happy with his toy, and then 2 days later that toy can break and he's not very happy. You know, it's like, oh, my new Christmas toy broke and I can't use it anymore. And but Christ is this inner joy that transcends anything we're going through in life, and it's all in how we respond to him. And so Herod and all the people, they didn't show up at the manger scene. They knew from the prophecies, they knew he was coming, they knew when he was coming, but none of them were there when Christ was, I'm not used to doing it this way. So, and none of them were aware when Christ was born. And so, yeah. But then the wise men who were looking for the Messiah, they were filled with incredible joy. So just a word there. And how do we experience joy? There's really two words, believe and receive. That's how you respond to the gospel. That's how you respond to the good news. You believe that Jesus Christ, that baby in a manger, that he was God. He's not just the Son of God, but he is literally God. He's one of the Trinity. Came to earth, took on flesh and blood, and then he rose up. And we believe he rose up and offered himself on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, because we all owe a sin debt that we can't pay on our own. And he hung on the cross for us and paid that price for us. And when we believe that, and then we just in our heart receive that, I mean, there's no work involved. We don't do any work. We just believe, and then we just receive that, and we say, we want your life. We want your hope. We want your joy, all that comes with receiving Christ. And so let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this Christmas morning. Thank you for this Christmas service. Thank you for all that took part in telling this wonderful story. Thank you for the gift of yourself coming as a little baby in a manger, growing up to be a man, to offer your life on the cross for all of our sins. Thank you for the sacrifice that you were. And now, Lord, thank you for the life that you offer to each one of us. I pray today, if there is one person in this room that has never said, I'm going to receive you, they might believe all that I said, but they've never taken that next step to step over the line and say, you know, I'm going to receive you into my life. I'm going to ask you to come into my life and give me life and give me hope and give me joy. And if there is one person here today that has never done that, I pray that they would know right now, in the privacy of their own heart, in the privacy of their own seat, all they have to do is say yes to you. Say, yes, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe you came into this world to die on the cross for my sins. I believe all that. I'm looking for hope, and I believe you are the hope I'm looking for, the forgiveness and redemption that I'm looking for. And then just say, I receive you into my life. I receive you and ask you to come into my life and make me a brand new person. If you're here today, all you have to do is just pray that prayer, and Christ will immediately come in. And if you have done that today, come and see me and tell me afterward, and I'll just give you an encouraging word as you leave here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of us. May we just have a blessed Christmas season. I pray for all that comes in the week ahead, and we're down to about, 7, 8, 9, 10 days till Christmas now. It's getting really close. And, Lord, I just pray you'll bless our remaining time. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together and sing. one last song, and next Sunday, we'll have a great service next Sunday, too, for Christmas Eve, doing some special things as well, so come out for that.
Oh, you got an announcement? Yeah, okay. Okay. We have oranges, we have M&Ms, and we have candy canes for everybody. This is something that Jeff's dad liked to do, and this is in memory of them, so thank you.
Okay. Let's sing together this last song.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat it, repeat the sounding joy.
Have a great Christmas week. Thanks for coming.